Good afternoon and welcome to the MSU Libraries. My name is Cliff Haka and I'm the director of the MSU Libraries, and this is the happiest day as we can have to see a turnout of this magnitude for something that is just so wonderful for the library to move really into a new phase, as we'll talk about. In particular, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you, and most particularly artist John Scott, who we're very honored would be with us today as we dedicate Skyfire. But obviously we are most specifically here today to honor Stanley and Selma Hollander, who have really made this day possible. Libraries being what they are, and serial inflation being what it is, we don't usually have a great deal of discretionary money to buy fine pieces of art. However, it's just a wonderful opportunity for, we average somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 users come through this building on average every day. It's a little down this time of the year since it's obviously summer. But that's the average across the year, and I think for our student population in large measure to have the opportunity to observe fine artwork is just a terrific offering and terrific possibility within the libraries. We certainly have a very fine Kresge Art Museum. I'm sometimes disappointed more students don't go there, but this is also a nice, terrific opportunity that will let many people, many of our students that may never have found their way over to the Kresge, to see fine artwork as well. As I said, this is made possible through the great benevolence of Selma and Stanley Hollander. They commissioned this work. And it is unfortunate, as we all know, that Stan cannot be with us today to see this formally being dedicated, but we know he's here in spirit, and his spirit will live on with this piece of artwork. Stan was in the library almost constantly, and now this piece of artwork will be here forever as well. So it is from their generosity that has made this available. We sincerely appreciate this. We sincerely hope that this may start a trend that other individuals may contemplate the donation of art, because as I say, we do have an obligation to spend most of the library's straightforward budget on library matters, of which there are many. Having said that, it is my great pleasure to introduce, and possibly for the first time, I don't know if I have that distinct honor, but our president-designate, Luanna Simon.
It really is a pleasure to be here. I told Selma coming in that I almost didn't come because I didn't want to detract from what I think is an extraordinary contribution of the Hollanders to Michigan State University. Then I sort of rethought it for a moment, and really part of what happened for me today is a function of the kind of love and dedication and scholarship the Hollanders really have demonstrated over a very long period of time, as well as many others in this room. Now, I should admit that Roy had a class from Stan and was appropriately challenged. I never quite had that privilege. But over the years, we've had a chance to talk and meet in elegant places like the Owen Hall Cafeteria, on benches by the Wharton Center. And as they meandered their way through the beautiful campus that really is their home. And I know that their passion for Michigan State, as represented by this piece of art, really is giving a part of themselves for the future of Michigan State University. And what more appropriate way to do that in the place that Stan loves so much? But I must say that it was always Selma first and the library second, of inappropriate ordering. But the work of folks like Stan Hollander also reinforced the importance of a library. It is more than simply a set of books. It is a representation of the scholarly vitality of a university community. And under the leadership of Dave Gift and Cliff Haka, we've tried to make it a place where people feel at home in expressing the various values of the university, from the visibility of the collections and now infusing art in the library. because this is a place that protects if students have the opportunity to see art and be inspired, they'll make their way to Kresge Art Museum. And if we can have that kind of spontaneity of education, then Michigan State has indeed made a difference in the lives of our students. So I'm just delighted to be here and to thank the Highlanders and to thank all of you for being a part of Michigan State University. I almost forgot a task, and I apologize. I've been a little scattered this afternoon. It's now my pleasure to introduce Faye Bakke, Associate Director of Public Service and former head of the Business Library.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. I first met Dr. Highlander, Stan, as he made me call him in later years, when I became head of the business library here at MSU. He was the best kind of library patron. He understood the library's purpose, the value of reference librarians, and he valued the library. When Stan was more mobile, he would come down to the business library. It was in the basement of Epley Center at the time, in search of materials. We'd often chat about current research that he was doing. His enthusiasm for the subject, his knowledge of the area, and his sense of humor were a welcome interlude in the day's business. During one discussion, I remember him chuckling about some new marketing craze. That's not new. They were doing that in Roman times. When Stan exhausted his own extensive research abilities, he would often turn to the library's reference staff for assistance. I'm pleased to say that I think we were able to help him more often than not. In turn, he taught us interesting things about marketing history, as well as library history. One of the last projects he was working on had to do with drugstore lending libraries, a library that I had never heard of. Stan wanted to make sure that his students understood the value of research and how to use the library. Each semester, he would invite one of the librarians in to talk about library research. He would sit patiently through the lecture again, but he would often comment and he'd ask questions, demonstrating to his students not only that he thought it was important and highlighting issues that he thought were important, but demonstrating that he was learning new things each time, especially as we moved into the electronic technology era. There was always something new for us as well. Stan wanted our collection to be the best that it could be. When he heard the Hudson's Department Store was going to disband its sales library, he asked that it be given to MSU. He then took the time to go through the collection book by book with me. I would read the author's name and the title, and he'd give me an overview of the book. Excellent text, be sure to keep it. That dog, get rid of it. He doesn't know what he's talking about. When Stan retired, he offered his own collection to the business library. I really had no idea what was in store, but it turned out to be quite interesting. Stan had books in his office. He had books in his main library, Carroll, and he had books at home. Once again, I learned a lot because we went through many of those books title by title. However, after we went through all of them, we discovered that Bill Stoddard, my predecessor at the business library, and Stan had been collecting as contemporaries. And the budget was pretty good back then, and the amount of literature being published was smaller back then, so Stan and Bill were collecting a lot of the same stuff. We went through the collection and we replaced some of our really worn text with Stan's very pristine copies. But even after it was all done, about 70% of the collection was duplicative, and we didn't have enough room in the business library for the duplicate books. I was surprised, but then I was really worried. I didn't know how to tell Stan that this wonderful collection that he'd been amassing, we couldn't use. But at the time, the internet was just getting going, and I was on a listserv with academic business librarians from around the country. So when I told him about the fact that 70% of the materials really couldn't be used by the MSU libraries, I suggested that we might offer them up on the listserv to a library that didn't have the kind of collection. He was absolutely delighted. He really liked that idea. I said, you're going to have to be the one that chooses the library, though. So we sent out the list of books that were available. They went all over the country to libraries all over the place. And in the end, he chose a small library, I think it was in Mississippi, where a friend of his was teaching. The program was quite new, and the library had not been collecting in that area. So they got a wonderful collection of materials in wonderful shape, covering the history of marketing history from probably the 50s through the 90s or the 80s. Stan was generous not only to the MSU libraries, but he was generous to libraries in general. I feel very fortunate to have worked with Stan and to have gotten to know you over the years, and I really want to thank you for this lovely gift that will remind us of him as well as help students appreciate art. Thank you. And now I'd like to introduce Jane Arnold, Humanities Collections Coordinator.
Well, we've heard of Stan on the national, the university, and the whole library level. I can talk about him as a reference librarian. 25 or 30 years ago, I met Stan. I first met him, and I recognized him as a devoted user of libraries. You will note that there will be recurring themes here in our remarks. He was a scholar and a teacher who made use of all of our services and was innately aware of what we could do, finding bits of information, bringing together disparate corners of research. He was interested in marketing, and he was interested in books, and he was interested in books and marketing. What brought him to my attention and set him apart from other business research related scholars was his interest in the humanities. I remember his work on the fee-based lending libraries in the drugstores. His paper on Emile Zola's long series of novels about the bourgeois world of tradespeople in the markets of Paris. And his most recent one was fiction set in a marketing environment. He would consult us for what he knew we knew best. Above all, he cultivated and respected us because he knew that with the libraries on his side, his research and teaching were more powerful. I could find myself doing more for him just because he didn't expect it, and one wanted to show that his confidence was well placed. Not that he needed us, he was very comfortable in libraries. He knew how to do research, but he also knew that having a friendly librarian working for you was far more advantageous than would meet the eye. We can shorten process. We can perhaps be more facile in searching. We can recall arcane resources. We can do a thousand little things. Don't get me wrong, we exist to serve the user, but sometimes we may run out of time or resourcefulness for convoluted research projects. But Stan was motivating. Last November, after he received my packet of information on his latest research, the one on fiction in the marketing environment, he called me to thank me personally. This was his typical friendly acknowledgement of our involvement in his research. Somewhere along the way, I came to know him as a person. And then I realized that his interest in the humanities was not incidental to marketing, but a profound part of his intellectual and social life. At the same time, I came to know Selma, or somewhere along the line. She would come to the library. I was at the reference desk frequently in the late afternoon, which is in a different place than it is now. It's right as you come in. And Selma would have Stan's coat in one hand and her car keys in the other and say, "Where's Stan?" And often we would know. So we knew pretty much he couldn't have gone far. For us, Stanley and Selma were a pair. And that's how I'll remember him. And happy birthday, Selma. Now may I introduce Susan Bandis, director of Kresge Art Museum.
Well, I get to tell you a little bit about Stanley and Selma as donors and lovers of art. You've heard about the library side of things. And this anecdote I'm going to tell you goes back to a previous meeting with John Scott. John has been on campus several times since he graduated in 1967, I think it was, 65, with his Master of Fine Arts from the art department. But he was back on campus in 1995 to receive a distinguished honorary doctorate. And he was back on campus again in 2000, I believe it was, for a Distinguished Alumni Award. And it was on that day when he was in the museum and hanging around that we got a chance to sort of talk with each other, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. And I mentioned to him that I had seen a work of his, Doorway for the Blues, at the Smithsonian, the Dylan Ripley Center, in a wonderful exhibit of African-American artists and jazz. And I said, but it didn't have a label. So whose collection was it in? And John said, his own. He owned it. Oh, a couple of hours later, I went back to John and I said, well, is it for sale? And what's the price? And he told me. And then a couple of hours later, I arrived early for the dinner in honor of John, and the Hollanders were there early too. As you know, they always arrive early. So there was nobody else in the room. I had to talk with the Hollanders, and I started talking with them, and I was so excited about this work, and I must have sort of said something about it being available. Over the course of the next 20 minutes or so, Selma described to Stanley this piece. And if you see this, what we have is very closely related, except Doorway for the Blues is kinetic and it has movement. And by the end of maybe halfway through the dinner, we had introduced John to Selma and Stanley. By the end of the dinner, they had decided to purchase this piece for the Kresge Art Museum. Now, Stanley paid me a compliment, I think, when he said, if I could sell art to a blind man, I could do anything. And so he appreciated the art through Selma's enthusiasm, through my enthusiasm, and I'm sure that he would love this piece had he been able to see it. And if Selma is true to form, She will be parked under this piece for hours for the next months because she would visit the doorway for the Blues in the Kresge Art Museum for hours on end. And she really is a lover of art. She appreciates it. She looks for nuances, and John's pieces are full of movement and color, and she's going to find them here. So we'll appreciate this wonderful piece that John has produced for us here, and people should come and see its relative in the Kresge Art Museum. And we greatly appreciate Selma and Stan for this wonderful gift. They have gifted other works of art on campus. The painting by Irv Taran that's in the entrance to the Kellogg Center is also a gift of theirs to the Kresge Art Museum, and we have it on long-term loan at the Kellogg. And they've also given the Wharton Center sculpture there. So this is a theme and a wonderful trend because we don't have a lot of art on the campus outside of the Kresge Art Museum, and it's wonderful to have and experience art in different locations. So thank you, Selma. A little bit more about John Scott, who I've alluded to as an MSU grad. He'd got his bachelor's degree from Xavier University, and he returned to Xavier after receiving his MFA at MSU, and he's been teaching there ever since. He has been recognized not just by MSU with honorary doctorates, but also Tulane University and Madonna College in Livonia, Michigan. He also is a distinguished genius award from the MacArthur Foundation. And if you have a chance to meet and talk with him, you'll understand what genius means. He's a very warm person, very giving, very thoughtful, and all of this comes out in his art. He was born in New Orleans, very influenced by jazz and blues, and it's the rhythm of the art that I think you begin to pick up. The bright colors are meant to really pull you into the artwork, and then you start to explore and see the various facets and angles. And I assure you that there is a great deal to learn from John's art and from speaking with him as a person. He's a real humanitarian, and we're very lucky to have him as one of our MSU alums. John.
Thank you. I don't know if I can live up to any of that. When I was, I really would like to thank Stan and Selma for having faith in me to ask me to do this piece. And having worked another piece of work here on Michigan State's campus. When I was asked to do this, I thought long and hard about, you know, what could go here, what should go here. And I used to think about it driving from my studio. My studio is in the eastern part of the city of New Orleans. So every afternoon, I drive into the sunset. I get a chance to drive right into the west. And it dawned on me that if you look at a sunset, the only person that can see that sunset from your perspective is you. Nobody else will ever see that sunset from that perspective. And I thought about the reference of a sunset, and knowing that Stan was in the sunset of his years, I decided to write a visual haiku about the sunset. And basically what I'd say about the piece, I wrote this a few minutes ago because I was thinking about, I'm going to get stuck here. Basically, Skyfire is a visual haiku written as a fingerprint on a sunset in celebration of a long life lived well. That's the piece. Thank you.
Thank you, John. One thing I'm drawn to comment about at this point is talking about Stan and his career here at MSU, having Dr. Mulder in the audience, having Mr. Scott here to dedicate his piece of art. I just feel so inadequate to be saying anything. These are tremendous people who helped make MSU what it is today and will be in the future. And we're just very honored. There are others of you in the audience as well, that, and we're honored to have all of you here. But there are certainly many other pillars of the MSU society that are here, and we really appreciate this turnout. It's a great honor. I wish I'd thought years ago about trying to get some, you know, high class art in the library to attract some more of you in here. But at any rate, a couple other things I would like to say. Obviously, this moment belongs to Stan and Selma, who made all of this possible. And our thanks cannot be adequate to that. But it is also the case on a campus like this, although very rare and unusual, there is occasionally a little bit of competition around donors and people who wish to provide wonderful things for the university and where they might do that in the university. And we would be hugely remiss if we were not directly appreciative and thankful at this point in public to the several people in the College of Arts and Letters who worked with us to encourage this to happen today, where it could have easily happened somewhere else. We do think this is a nice place to have some art. I do hope that Susan is right, that people that will see this will then go to Kresge Art Museum. We do not long to be the art museum. We long to have students have an opportunity to see art and then see more of it at Kresge. But at any rate, those people in the College of Arts and Letters that worked with us and helped us in making this possible include Wendy Wilkins, Susan, of course, April Kingsley, Rebecca Surian, and Christine Peterson. And I really do want to thank them publicly for their efforts that made this possible to be in the library. I also would like to say, if I can be so crass as to have one quick plug, this is a great subset of, and maybe as I look around, maybe almost a full set of the Friends of the Library group, and we will be holding our fall dinner. And I don't mention that simply to try to encourage people to come, but we will be honoring another giant in MSU history, Richard Chapin, at that fall dinner this year. That'll be on Sunday, September 26th, and I really hope you'll watch for that announcement and come join us in what was an outstanding event last year. But back to the purpose at hand. Selma, thank you. Thank you to you and Stan and all you've done for the university, and in this circumstance today, thanks for you've done for the libraries. Happy birthday, and would you like to offer some comments?
I'm really not prepared to say anything. I mean, and now, of course, thank you everyone for coming. And is Provost Luann Simon here for her wonderful remarks? I don't know whether she's still here or she's gone. My birthday is one thing, that's okay. But we're really here because of Stan. And you've heard what the library meant to Stan. It was everything. I mean, of course, I suppose I came first, but the library was his life. And aside from the books, I can say that the people that he worked with were fantastic. They really made the library as important to him as the bookstore. He would always come home and tell me about the wonderful help. And Henry Koch is gone also. His wife is here, Betty. But they were such good friends. Dick Chapin. They would meet up on the fourth floor. They would have coffee. But we've been here a long time, since 1957. And I mean, these people all mean so much. And that's really all I have to say. Stan wanted something for the library. And I just want to end that, fortunately, this was commissioned just before he died. He was in bad, very, very bad shape. And he told Belinda, please don't tell the artist, you know. And she didn't at the beginning, I don't think, but she eventually did. So he knew that something that he wanted was going to be in the library. And I'm so thankful for that. And I hope he knows. Thank you.
Thank you, Selma. Thanks again, everyone. We have refreshments and birthday cake, so we do hope you'll join us and enjoy the artwork and visit with your friends. Thank you very much for coming out. We do appreciate it.
Okay.
It's okay.
You can see why I will never be one of the luminaries of MSU. I can't remember. One of the pieces of work that was put together by Teresa Moore and Jeannie Drews of our staff, which is a wonderful work, which I hope Selma will allow us to put back out after we, which shows the progression of the space in which the piece of art now hangs. And this is for Selma, and I hope you'll have a chance to get a look at it before you leave today. Thank you, and enjoy the refreshments. Thanks for coming.